This is another session in our exploration of divine laws, of divine laws of life. Tonight we're dealing with the divine law of action and reaction. It's a somewhat minor law, but important. It's a subset of the law of cause and effect. And our question, therefore, is what is the divine law of action and reaction, and how can an aspirant best harness it? I've shuffled the cards, laid out the spread, and we have as follows. The starting point is the Ace of Cups, upside down. The counterpoint is the Eight of Rods, right side up. The challenge is the Nine of Cups, upside down. The purpose is the Four of Rods, right side up. The endowment is the Eight of Cups, upside down. The destiny is the Six of Swords, upside down. And then we go to the Pillar of Revelation. We have the real question is the Seven of Cups, upside down. The hidden forces is the Five of Swords, right side up. The spiritual ideal is the Queen of Pentacles, upside down. And the culmination is the Nine of Swords, right side up. So we have four upright and six reverse cards. The reverse cards represent reactions. The upright cards represent actions, action and reaction. And we have no majors. This is the first one of these and the first reading I've done in a long, long time where there were no majors at all. There are three swords, two rods, four cups, and one pentacle. And I think the reason why there's no majors is that even though we are talking about a divine law, this is a subset. It's a its importance is to our understanding here on Earth more than anything else. This law is the key to attuning your awareness to the larger life in which we live and move and have our being. It establishes the there's two ways of looking at this. You may notice on the screen, if you are doing this by computer, I have a picture up there subtitled Action, and it says a life of reaction is a life of slavery intellectually and spiritually. One must fight for a life of action, not reaction. I'm not sure about the fighting. That seems a little bit over the top, as if it's a struggle. And I'll put that there to remind me to debunk this false notion of action and reaction. This is looking at activity on the physical plane and the emotional plane only. And we go through, we stumble through our life. It's quite correct that a life of reaction is a life of slavery, because we react to what happens to us emotionally, and that's our enslaved response to life. It's far better to achieve a intelligent response which is based on actions, specifically the actions of the soul, the guidance of the soul. And we'll talk about that, but in terms of this reading, the word action refers to, we'll see this as we get there, it refers to, we can see the card of destiny is the Six of Swords, and that's the motivating power of the will, the divine will. So an action is something that the will has set in motion at spiritual levels. A reaction is how it prints out on the physical plane. So,
hey, Carl.
Yes. Go ahead.
Just want to say that the screen is not projecting your computer.
Sorry about
screen.
That. You're right. I haven't liberated it. Okay, tell me if that's better.
There you go. Yes.
All right. Good. Now you can see what I see. And the painting is another Nicholas Roerich. Don't ask me the title of it, but you'll understand why I picked it in a few moments. All right, to go ahead with our interpretation here, we start at the starting point with the Ace of Cups. The Ace of Cups is a giant cup with radiating a sun. And although this is a card of the emotions, it's a card of the emotional ideal. And there's nothing reactive here. This calls to mind the parable of the light and the lamp that the Christ told of one who lights a lamp or a candle does not hide it under a basket, but puts it on a stand for all to see or to all be affected by it. And so that's what this card is representing. The sun is coming up out of the cup and radiating throughout the whole world. And so this implies what I've already said, and that is that the emotions and the whole of our expression and form is meant to be inspired by and lit by the animation of the soul. And it's not something separate but equal. It's the fulfillment of our sense of companionship. And so we're not talking about action and reaction on the physical plane, where somebody shoves us and we shove back, or we're walking into the wind and the wind blows at us and we get we find it difficult to make forward progress. That's the typical physical law of Newton's third law of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's entirely in the level of form, whereas this is a law that links us with divine life and tells us, if we comprehend it correctly, that everything that happens to us in the physical plane is the result of some spiritual force that's been unleashed at inner levels. It may be an incomprehensible spiritual force. We may not get the message, but we should assume that everything that happens to us has a benevolent, constructive, spiritual motivation behind it. It's not an easy lesson to learn, but when we do, we gain mastery over ourselves. And it's important to understand that even simple activities such as signing up and taking and learning the lessons of Walden Ultra, which starts tomorrow, is an example of each student being a focus point through which these ideas can flood into the worlds of form. But without students, there is no such flooding. Without the demand for this material, I can go on the inner planes and contemplate these things, but there has to be each student plays a definite part. And the more students there are, the easier it is to flood this information into the physical plane. And that's the real meaning of action and reaction. The action is these ideas formulating on the inner planes. The reaction is that of students studying it and integrating into their own life and developing their own mind and receiving the benefit therefrom. And of course, that benefits all of humanity. So it's really, again, this concept of making sure that we're not just, first of all, understanding that A, as students of spiritual light, we're not just a cog in the wheel, but we play a very important role in kindling that light on earth. And secondly, it doesn't happen unless we involve ourselves. We need to reach out and explore these dimensions and involve ourselves and interact with it, and not just patiently wait like little birdies in a nest waiting for the mama or the papa bird to bring a worm back and feed us. That's very passive. That's highly reactive. So our reactions in this case, if they're linked with spiritual actions, set in motion a chain reaction, if you wish, which can infuse all of human thinking with new ideas. And this is a model or a matrix for the way growth occurs in the human family. And it sometimes takes thousands of years for ideas to germinate. And even with somebody as powerful as the Christ or the Buddha, we're still, after thousands of years, still trying to grasp and understand the real power. And some people reject it. They have a reaction of ignorance, and they spread that. But that's all right. That's part of humanity's struggle or effort to try to grasp a new truth. And sometimes the first reaction to a new truth is indeed the spread of evil, because the people who are oriented towards evil distort it and warp it and twist it. And we see this happening with the infusion of freedom into our thinking, is that a lot of self-centered, even evil people take it and twist it and warp it and make it into something that is a grotesque parody of itself. And that's a problem of reactiveness and not identifying the action. Obviously, there's a lot of people who don't accept life above the mean as the source of action in their life. But that's the purpose of this law, is to understand that. Okay, going on then from the Ace of Cups to the counterpoint, the Eight of Rods, this is pretty straightforward and clear. The Ace of Rods is eight rods in parallel with a slight gap between two sets of four. And they're above the mean. They're above the horizon. They're in the abstract air. So we have the abstract mind and the concrete mind. The abstract mind represents the thinking of spirit and action. The lesser four of the intellectual mind is the reaction of the intellectual mind if it's attuned to the abstract mind. In all too many cases, the intellectual mind is simply enslaved to emotional reactiveness and is not connected to action. And so the reactions are reactions to things that happen in life rather than to spiritual force. And of course that goes awry and leads to difficulty and problems. People are reacting to the decision of the jury in the George Zimmerman trial. And that whole reaction is false. It's a distortion, because this was just a specific event which no one can understand except those who were in the courtroom. And presumably that's the purpose of the jury, to understand it. And they did, and they made a ruling. But the only thing that we should react to is our sense of responsibility, our sense of justice, justness. And we should celebrate the fact that we have a system not based on bias and prejudice and partisanship, but a system based on the discovery of truth and the application of it. So everybody that's reacting to the verdict is reacting falsely. The verdict stands by itself. This should remind us that there is such a thing as an abstract force of justice, justness, and balance, and that we as individual citizens in this country should be seeking that. Now, when you fall short of that and you react to an event on the physical plane, as so many people are doing in this situation, then you're twisting and warping this. And this is why so many people claim justice was not served. Well, justice absolutely was served. Justice as an abstract force of the higher mind, the upper set of four rods in this particular card. It's their concept of vengeance that isn't being served. They are disappointed because they're so emotionally focused, and they don't understand how they're warping justice into vengeance. And the whole notion behind hate crimes and the call for persecuting Zimmerman on a hate crime law, which will never happen because it can't. There was no hate. The FBI's already found that. But the whole idea of that is you don't substitute the notion of hate crimes for justice. Hate crimes is a condemnation of filled with bias and bigotry, just as the people who scream about it proclaim. And so if we're going to respond, we have to respond to an abstract force of spirit, justice, wisdom, beauty, grace, whatever it might be. So this is the Eight of Rods. This law, harnessing this law, propels us into the abstract dimensions of life, and we begin to lead our life from a position of action and the motivation of the will, rather than reactiveness or even responsiveness. We respond to spiritual force and set in motion proper actions in the physical plane. I hope that makes sense. Any comments or questions before I move on? Rose. Hold on, Dorothy. Let's all tie.
Oh, it's all tangled up.
I'm just a little confused by I generally think in terms of the soul that I should be responding to the soul.
Right.
And now you're saying we should be reacting?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean,
you're not saying that. Back. Okay.
There's two different things, two different sets of ideas involved here. And we'll get to this a little bit when we get to the real question, which is the Seven of Cups, and talk about glamour. There's a reactiveness is the knee-jerk response of the emotions to life. A true responsiveness or responsibility is the ability of the personality to respond to the soul, as you correctly pointed out. That's really a different set of, we use the same terms, but here the law of action and reaction suggests that what is set in motion, the illumination that comes from this is we go into the inner planes, we fill ourselves with beauty, justice, peace, grace, harmony, wisdom, will, whatever, and then we put our lamp on top of a stand so that it can radiate for all to see. We don't confuse the events of life for having a determining factor. We're determining, I'm going to express wisdom. I'm not going to fall into the trap of people I'm going to express justice. I'm not going to fall into the trap of people demanding vengeance. See, the demand for vengeance is a reactive mode that has no significance whatsoever, except it gives them an opportunity to learn more about responsiveness. Does that make sense? That example makes sense? In any event, ponder on that. That's what these are all about, is to ponder on them until it does make sense. Dorothy, you had a question.
Yeah, I was thinking about some people who are very intellectual, and they may react intellectually to something, and then it seems to kind of tap the emotions as well. But it's not the strong emotional reaction, but it's a...
It may not be a knee-jerk emotional reaction, but it is a reaction every bit as much. Anytime form dominates the situation, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental form, see, they get trapped in, for example, to go back to the example du jour, the Zimmerman trial. Afterwards, I don't know whether you watched any of this or not, but the prosecuting attorneys came out and all but said that they followed the form of saying, we accept the jury's verdict, but you could tell from what they were saying that they didn't accept the jury's verdict. And they were still convinced in their warped perspective that even though everybody saw the evidence and the jury saw the same evidence that they saw, they believed George Zimmerman to be guilty of second-degree murder. They thought they had proven it. Nobody else in the world did, except people who were motivated by vengeance or racial pride or something of this nature. But they certainly did. And that's an example of what you're talking about, I think, where their fixed idea warped their, set their reactions for them. And that is, so the intellectual mind can be hijacked by reactiveness just as the emotions can be. And many people who are intellectual but without any contact with the realm of spirit, any conscious contact anyway, have just as many knee-jerk reactions to life as people who are emotionally grounded do. Does that help you with that question?
Yes, it does, very much. Yeah. Just that there are, I see quite a bit kind of in being verbose in a very intellectual way and in a great deal of detail. And that always just seems like it's wave after wave of reaction, even though it's not an emotional,
right?
Like high emotion. Yeah.
Reactiveness can be physical, emotional, or mental. Right now, most people are focusing their emotions, and so you see more emotional knee-jerk reactiveness than intellectual. But it can happen at all of those levels when it's when we're disconnected from spirit. And we carry this idea forward with the next card, the Nine of Cups, which is in the position of the challenge. The Nine of Cups is our friend, the journeyman, who is quite competent in what he does, and he's sitting there smug and proud in this. But in this particular case, he's in the foreground and the cups are in the background. And this conveys to me the idea of being the front man. The personality is out front, and the motives and principles guiding the personality are in the background. Our goal in self-expression is to make sure that our commitment to wisdom, beauty, peace, and so on, joy, are being adequately expressed day by day in who we are. We don't have to constantly talk about our devotion to these things. We just incorporate them and we integrate them into our self-expression. We express them. And that is true action. We achieve action here on the physical plane by being the spokesperson or the frontispiece for spiritual forces. And in that sense, we should, of course, trust in those spiritual forces to always be there. They always are and always will be, because you can't go anywhere on this planet and be separated from your spiritual force if you've made contact. And that's what we should be asserting, is we should be fronting for these spiritual forces of activity, for the will, so to speak. And this then leads us down to the next card, which is the Four of Rods, and this is in the position of the purpose. The Four of Rods is a card of celebration, of marriage, if you wish. And that's what we're supposed to do in harnessing the inner and the outer levels of life. We wed ourselves to spirit, and then we celebrate the spiritual forces of joy and wisdom and love and compassion and grace and so on in all that we do. Every day of our life is an opportunity for us to fill life with beauty, to fill life with wisdom. It's up to us to be a lamp radiating light throughout the world. We don't need special circumstances to do this. We just need to celebrate what we know to be true and to make sure that our character is shaped and sweetened in such a way that instead of being reactive and going down the highway and cursing everybody that gets in our way, or taking people in the supermarket to task for being an impediment to our happiness, all those things would be reactions and have no significance except that we would stumble over them. We should be celebrating life and sharing it with our fellow human beings. So life is meant to be a celebration. And in doing that, we achieve a sense of balance and ratio and perspective, which is all contained in the Four of Rods. Notice that the Four of Rods and the Eight of Rods are our two cards with rods in them. And the counterpoint and the purpose both combine here to indicate the importance of the mind in making this, interpreting the law of action and reaction and harnessing it effectively. It's through the act of celebrating life that we best harness the richness of these inner forces. Then we, so I'm going to pause again. Any comments or questions before we go on? And I don't know, maybe as a way of better understanding your question, Rose, The Four of Rods gives you a sense of the celebration of the Four of Rods is a, should give you a deeper sense of that responsibility. It's not just that you respond to spiritual force, but you actually integrate it into your character and you celebrate it in all that you do. And therefore, that's the true action as opposed to a reaction. Does that make sense?
But that is what I would encompass in responding.
Sure.
I just have in my mind that action or being active is positive.
Right.
And reacting to me means somebody's pushing your button.
Right.
So to me, when I
which
think
might
of the,
be yourself.
When I think of the, you know, I want to make sure I'm responding to
right.
the soul.
Yeah.
And then integrating that.
Mm-hmm.
The
best way to do that is a constant celebration as if you were celebrating communion every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the putting out your lamp on the stand so that it radiates throughout the whole world. Okay, we come then to the card of endowment. We have the Eight of Cups. A fellow with eight cups in the foreground, and he's somewhat leaving them behind in order to cross the river. He can't, I guess it hasn't occurred to him to fill the cups with the water of the river and pass them out to everybody that's thirsty. maybe it has occurred to him. But
quite an empty the river.
And then walk across.
Then walk
it.
Across. There's
exactly.
more than one way to walk across.
Right. he has come to the river. He wants to cross it because he realizes his spiritual growth requires him to cross the river, but he isn't quite sure how to take all those cups with him. So our possessiveness and attachments tend to hold us back, whereas if we realize that all there is action and everything else is reaction. We don't get tied up and twisted up in the reactions. We allow ourselves to be animated by the action. And this card indicates that there's in the law of action and reaction, there's an intersection of the inner and the outer dimensions of life. You notice that there's the moon up in the sky, and then there's the cups down on the ground, indicating that everything we do and everything that happens to us in our life exists within the context of a much larger context. The life of the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the life of the greater lives of zodiacal beings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the source of action in our life is not merely the soul, although the soul is our go-to point for that connection. But it's the massive beings in which we live and move and have our being, God, etc., Or the spirit of America, if we happen to be Americans, or the spirit of peace, if we're working in that dimension, and we need to understand that we turn to the inner planes for guidance, and we discover the higher abstract qualities that are the true active forces in our life, and we let them guide us. Okay, so that's our endowment. Then we move forward to the card of destiny, the Six of Swords. We have the fellow with the birdie cap on, the beanie, the birdie beanie. And he's a master of his ship. The swords are a form of dynamo, which is energizing the bird to, or the boat, to cross the water and reach the mountains on the other side. And so again, this is the card of motivating power. The swords are a symbol for the will creating motive. And so our best way of harnessing the law of action and reaction is to make sure that everything we do is expressing one or more spiritual forces and the will of the soul or the spirit to involve ourselves in life. And it's not anything that we're doing for ourselves or our own self-aggrandizement, as might be suggested by the Nine of Cups, but we are trying to sail our boat across the waters of the emotions and reach the other shore successfully. So this law explains to us how we generate that motivating power. Everything we do should be motivated from within, not from without. If we're reactive to life, if we become upset because we think the verdict in a trial went the wrong way, it ends up driving us to distraction as we pervert justice into vengeance, or freedom into irresponsibility, or anything of that nature. So we need to understand this, and these six cards give us a very good, solid foundation in the nature of the law of action and reaction. Other comments before I move on to the Pillar of Revelation? Other comments? All right, let me move on. And we now come to the Pillar of Revelation and the real question, which is the Seven of Cups. Seven of Cups are filled with all these weird things, from rainbows to snakes, cobras, to nuclear atoms, to diving helmets and rods and heads and all the butterflies. And basically, this is the combined fantasies or glamours of human thinking. And so much is motivated by false motivations like this. The other day we were talking about romantic attractions and whatnot. And that's what this kind of thing, this card represents, is the accumulated, what was it we saw in the news tonight? They did a little piece on this guy that was a star of Glee or something that apparently died of an overdose or something. He'd been struggling with, they're not sure yet, but that's the...
Died in a hotel room.
Yeah, he died in a hotel room, probably of drugs. And because he was only 30. And hotel rooms aren't usually that lethal. But in any event...
Well, psychically, they actually
are. Yeah, they could be, yes, they could be. But, you see, we think that he was... so many people would say, oh, I wish I was like him. And yet they obviously wouldn't wish to be like him because he's been in and out of rehab since he was 12 years old or something.
Well,
19.
I think Bob misquoted that.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Beckel.
Yeah, Beckel. Yeah. Anyway, we have these glamorous ideas of living happily ever after, of marrying for love, which is just an emotional goose. And many people substitute or try to substitute these emotional gooses or geese for a real motive. So we need to define clearly what is the action that is truly motivating me, the spiritual action, the spiritual power or will that is truly motivating me, and not succumb to these fantasies and illusions of life, magical thinking, belief in miracles when hard work is needed, belief in expectations, belief in the life of the jet set, and so on, all the superficial elements of life. We need to make sure that we recognize that we're not being trapped in that, because in these traps lie enslavement, addiction, enslavement, and the cheapening of human life. Going on then, we come to the hidden forces, unseen forces. We have the Five of Swords. And for the average person who's not very discovery-oriented, they have no idea that spirit is actually as prevalent or dominant in their life as it is. And of course, then they misinterpret it. What was the spiritual lesson behind the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin episode? Well, there was one. We just don't recognize it because spirit is behind the scenes. And yet here we clearly see that if we play the part of spiritual aspirant, the two swords over the left shoulder serve as an antennae, bringing spiritual force down through the paraclete, the sword planted in the ground, and they then motivate both right and wrong swords that are crossed in the foreground in conflict. Those are the swords of action and reaction on the physical plane. But the true action is the spiritual force coming down through this agent. So this is why we should think of ourselves as agents of light, agents of spirit. We are the front person. But we have to understand then that when you talk about action and reaction in the physical plane or the emotions or the mind, you're talking about the same thing. That to the spiritual aspirant, right and wrong are just two halves of the same phenomena. That the issue is not whether you're right or wrong, but whether you're able to express spirit through what you're doing. And that which is wrong invokes and precipitates correction. That's the principle of reform. We'll be talking about reform in the Walden Ultra class starting tomorrow. And reform is one of the areas of human life that is least understood, least experienced, least expressed. But we can harness both right and wrong, and then we begin to realize that our perceptions of right, good and evil, up and down, in and out, whatever, and begin to, if we go beyond the outer dimensions of these things, we can see, we can come to the apex which harmonizes both the right and the wrong, and it becomes a matter of connecting with the spiritual action, not of rightness or wrongness, but of reform. Then we come to the next card, which is the spiritual ideal. This is the Queen of Pentacles. And this is, she's wearing a seamless robe of ermine. She represents elegance and grace. And this ties back into our Four of Rods and celebration. We are meant to, if we're in tune with divine action, action at the inner level, we will glide through physical life and our emotional difficulties and mental snags with grace and peace and beauty and elegance. And so the spiritual ideal here is grace. And this is why, again, it's so important to work with the graces of life as we've done over the years. And this is a key to going back to the Nine of Pentacles, where I talked about fronting, being the front person, the spokesperson, the poster child for inner dimensions, for inner qualities, the poster child for beauty. A musician should be the agent of harmony. An artist should be the agent of beauty. The one who helps other people, teaches, whatever, should be the agent of goodwill and nurturing love. So again, we have this issue here, except that we want to make sure that we go and touch the pure element of the grace, not the phony, faux element of the emotional representation of it. And then we come to the culmination, and we have the Nine of Swords, and we have the woman who has set down her pail, her jug, her vase, and in which she gathered water to nurture things. There may be a coffin in the foreground. She seems overwhelmed by the prospect of the residue of ancient evil. But what's really happening in this card is the Nine Swords are stationary at the inner levels. They're unaffected by the personal reactions of the individual. And so, again, we tie it back down to the Seven of Cups, and we realize that whatever is moving her to tears, if that's indeed the case, either her sense of loss or her sense of being overwhelmed, the reality of the inner dimensions of life have not changed. The death of Trayvon Martin is undoubtedly a personal tragedy and struggle for his family, but the inner dimensions of the situation have not changed. He still has the same potential he did when he was alive in the physical plane, probably is more in touch with it and understands the purpose of his life and experience far more than his parents or his supporters do. We try to grapple with difficult situations in physical terms, and we miss the point consistently. We have to look to the inner dimensions to understand what's going on, and that we are not down here for our own personal pleasure or emotional goose. We're down here to serve a larger purpose, and that purpose is constantly guiding us and directing us. And that's the law of action and reaction. If the actions are proper and based anchored in spirit, the reactions will be proper and expressive of spirit. But that's up to us. We can fill our life with joy and celebration, or we can fill it with sadness and recrimination and regret. That's our choice as to how we harness the law of action and reaction. Okay, I'm going to pause here and entertain any comments or questions that you might have.
Well, what comes to mind is St. Paul's quote, "None of these things moves me."
Sure.
That'd be appropriate here.
Well, I think it is in terms of the reactiveness.
Right.
But we do want to be moved by those things that would move him, which would be obviously spirit.
Right.
So we want to be moved by spiritual force. That's the active ingredient here.
Well, I think he would be referring to the negative.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's completely consistent with what we've just been talking about. Good. I like that. Now, by now you should realize that the reason why I picked the Nicholas Roerich painting was that whoever that is, whatever Russian saint that is, represents the put the lamp on top of a stand so that it radiates out and fills the whole world. In this particular case, it's himself and the light he radiates, not an artificial lamp that he has lit. But of course, that phrase in the parable of Jesus is followed by the statement, the eye is the lamp of the body. And it is through our own expressions as the Nine of Cups that we radiate light throughout the world. We don't literally get a light and put it on a lampstand. We do it through our own self. And so his aura there, his halo, is radiating light, and that's what we should all strive to do. Other comments and questions here? Anybody? Well, that's it for this particular investigation. This is an important law to understand in that it helps make sense out of lots and lots of things in life, because the real action of life occurs at the inner levels, and quite often what we experience in the physical level has very little to do with us or any actions that we've taken or whatever. If we run into evil, for example, it may very well be that the purpose of that is to wake us up to the forces of spirit and to stand our ground in the face of evil so that the evil can be corrected. And it doesn't mean that we've done something horribly wrong. It just means that we have an opportunity to let our light be radiated forth and become an agent of reform. Okay. Anybody else? Any final comments?
Carl, just to say that the way you describe tracing things back to the origin, is that like going to the inner planes to trace things back?
Sure.
So that you have an understanding, so that you're not reactive.
Well, in that sense, this particular reading or investigation is a good example of what I've been calling the rising mind. And that is that the mind needs to rise up out of the physical plane, and all of its emotional reactions and all of its intellectual fixations, and discover the true motivating power of the soul, of spirit, and then fill our self-expression with these forces. And so that's the rising action, the mind rising up to the level of spirit, which is possible because of the Eight of Rods, and then using that to determine our response, our responsiveness to anything that happens in life. But we should always keep in mind that we're not responding to the events of life. We're responding to the original initiating action of spirit. And therefore, we are in control and a master of these reactive forces. Good. Anybody else? Well, that's it for tonight. Thank you. And we'll continue these again in a couple of weeks. Thank you. Good night.